Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Nice to have you here. Are you cold yet? You know, things are, I think winter's getting to us. I think winter's getting the better of us. Our organist called and said they had 50-some below wind chill and didn't want to take our 86-year-old husband out. We're going to have that problem, so if anyone knows, if anyone who can play a piano or an organ, our congregation could use that. Second, I talked with our friend Darwin this week, who is trying to find a stem cell transplant person, and he is spiritually, emotionally, he's doing quite okay, but he's most upset about not being able to lead the choir, and that's his heart and soul. So if any of you have any skills or whatever with the choir, you know how much music is important to us. So I'm thinking, you know, the old weathers must be getting to us. And then I came this morning and no one was making coffee. So I made the coffee today, all right? But I can't go back there and serve everybody. So when you sit down at your table, one person shall be, you know, you can get the coffee, I think, but one person should be identified as the coffee person around your table, all right? So if you can do that, we should always have coffee, don't you think, Dean?
Yeah.
That reminds me, next week we turn our clocks ahead, so remember that, otherwise you'll be an hour late. You'd be in just in time for coffee. Yeah. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We begin 40 days of Lent. And so traditionally in the church, that's been a time to consider your relationship with God. And it's a time of pondering on who God is and how he works in your life and how he moves through the earth and through the eons of time. And it's a time for us to consider how we have been living in his kingdom. So I'm going to invite you to take some time this 40 days to spend extra time with the Lord, okay? We've got Ash Wednesday service at 6:30. And then the next five Wednesdays, we'll have potluck at 5:30 and our worship service at 6:30. So maybe that's the sign that it's the end of winter, as we get to have these potlucks and get together. There's a sign-up sheet for potluck for some for people who make the coffee and so forth. Oh, what else told me that winter was getting the better of us? Oh, our newsletter hasn't been out, is it? No, so, you know, man, we're wimps. Come on, kids. We can do this. We're stronger. We're better than that. We can beat winter, and we will do it, won't we? Yeah, good. Wally, our this month we're going to practice another Christian discipline. And what's that discipline we're talking about?
Is love like Jesus. It's we're focusing on prayer.
Huh.
And prayer is something that everybody should do. The Bible tells us we should pray often.
Unceasingly. So when I saw you talking to yourself out in the parking lot,
I was probably praying.
Okay.
Matter of fact, this morning my car wouldn't start. I didn't panic. I tried to find the hood latch and couldn't find that. After I did, I said a little prayer. I found it. Put the battery charger on it. Still wouldn't start. Now before I had my epiphany, probably would have heard hammers flying around the truck, but took the truck.
Well, yeah. Well, you're the one who taught me it's 10% what happens, 90% how you deal with it. So,
little story about I pray a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that, like I say, after my epiphany, I've changed my life on me. This is a little book that I read every morning. Oh, Jesus called.
I'm not going to ask about that. Oh, okay. Tub and shower. Yeah.
The Bible says we should only pray for our needs and not our wants. Last night I went to a turkey banquet, and they had a ton of fries. They had 106 fries. Well, I didn't need anything. So I didn't pray for anything, and guess what?
What?
I didn't get anything.
So your prayers were answered.
Proud of prayer or not prayer. Anyway, I just want to remind you this month is prayer month. Every month is prayer month, and keep that in mind. Like I say, I pray every morning. I pray every night. I pray for mostly other people. We have a prayer chain, and I really see that working.
Does it help to pray for other people?
I think so. It makes me feel better. Of course, when somebody dies, pray for comfort for the whole family. And I think it comforts me just to be able to do that. So that's my take on prayer.
Any questions? Read the book.
Read the book. It's in the book.
All right. Thanks, Wally. Yeah. So our theme this year... what was about Jesus? What's that theme again?
It's love like
Jesus. Love like Jesus. And part of that is prayer. So let's remember that this month. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love. And thank you for the grace that you bestow upon us. You bless us in so many ways. We don't even deserve how well we've been treated by you and loved by you. And so as we gather around your holy table this morning, and as we look into each other's eyes and see fellow sojourners here on earth, and as we consider the cares and concerns of this world, we bring these cares and concerns to you, and we pray for your strength to stand before whatever comes our way. So strengthen us this morning, recharge our batteries, allow us to see you in your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this morning, we are going to sing these songs that are in our book, but we're only going to sing two verses, okay? Except for, I was there to hear your morning cry, there's no way you can jump around there, so we'll sing the whole deal. But if you'd all turn to page 8, or to hymn 824, see Mrs. Elling's daughter here, who's got such a beautiful voice. You should be leading with me, you know. Yeah, you're way lower. Okay. Let's try singing the first and last verse of This Is My Father's World. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand of wonders wrought. Please rise and let's sing the last verse. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me not forget that though the wrongings are so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. I lured my heart be sad. The Lord is King, let the heavens ring. God reigns, let the earth be glad. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Let us come into the light of Christ, confessing our need for God's mercy. Let's take a moment for silent reflection and self-examination. Let us confess together. Holy and faithful God, we so often choose our own way instead of yours. We think we can evade your commandments. We have spoken in ways that kill, strayed with our hearts, betrayed friends, and hated enemies. We have broken our promises. Search us deeply and create us anew. Lift the heaven burden of our sin and free us to follow your way of life. Amen. Call upon me, says the Lord, and I will answer. Our God has come among us to loose every bond and set us free from all that weighs us down. Receive the forgiveness of all your sins in the name of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, on the mountain you showed your glory in the transfiguration of your Son. Give us the vision to see beyond the turmoil of our world and to behold the King in all his glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The reading today is from 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21. At the Transfiguration, God's voice was heard, declaring Jesus to be the beloved Son. By the activity of the Holy Spirit, God's voice continues to be heard through the word of Scripture. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we have been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we are with him on that holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. We will do well to be attentive to this as a lamp shining in the dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke through God. The reading today is Psalm 2. When you see the bold, you are to repeat, "You are my Son, this day I have begotten you." Why are the nations in such an uproar? Why do the peoples mutter empty threats?
Why do the kings of the earth rise up in revolt, and the princes plot together against the Lord and against the Lord's anointed?
Let us break their yoke, they say. Let us cast off their bonds from us.
God is strong as in heaven.
Then in wrath God speaks to them, and in rage fills them with terror. Let me announce the decree of the Lord, who said to me, "You are my Son, this day I have begotten you." You shall crush them with an iron rod and shatter them like pieces of pottery.
And now, O kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth.
Submit to the Lord with fear and with trembling bow in worship.
Bless the Lord, be angry, and you perish in a sudden blaze of wrath. And that we are all who take refuge in God. You are my Son.
Here ends the reading. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
gospel lesson for this Transfiguration Sunday is found in the 17th chapter of St. Matthew. Shortly before he enters Jerusalem, where he will be crucified, Jesus is revealed to his disciples in a mountaintop experience of divine glory called the Transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 754. Sing the first and last verse of Ready Melody. Let's sing with a melody in our heart. Jesus, the very thought of you fills us with sweet delight. But sweeter far your face to view and rest within your light. O Jesus, be our joy today. Help us to prize your love and at last to hear you say, "Come share my hope above." Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A fellow by the name of John Henry Patterson developed a company back in the 1880s. You all know it as the National Cash Register Company. 1884, he found out that there was every week he'd go to work, there'd be something missing, something stealing. So he hired a security staff, but still stuff kept missing. Finally, he couldn't figure it out, but he found himself a phosphorescent suit that shined in the dark. He jumped on a white horse. He rode down the entryway to the company, right to the front doors, jimmied the door, got in, took some stuff, came out, put it on his horse, and rode away. The security bunch didn't even give him the time of day, didn't even notice him. So the next day he went in and fired them all. He said that's where the problem was. A friend was telling me about an episode on Friends. Now, I don't watch Friends. It's a half-hour show. I suppose that's a comedy. But he said there's a guy on there named Ross who was hustling a girl, wanted to make a good impression, so he had his teeth bleached. Trouble is, he laid down, took a nap, and that bleach stayed on so that when he woke up and tried to wash it off, his whole mouth shined like a lighthouse shining. Well, the gal comes over, they have a nice dinner, and she turns the light down to get a little romantic, and he opens his mouth and the light shines like crazy. Today we read in our gospel lesson the story of something we call the Transfiguration. Jesus invites his disciples, Peter, James, and John. They go up to the mountain. They have a mountaintop experience. Jesus is transfigured. Now that's a word that we don't use much, but his whole visage is changed. His face shines bright. His hair turns white. His clothes are shining. That's what happens on this mountain. They hear the voice of God. For preachers, this is often probably the most difficult sermon to preach on because I don't understand this business. I don't get it. And how often have you used the word transfigure in your life? Anybody ever use that word? I don't know. Anyway, Matthew writes about the master. He says, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Reminds me of John Henry Patterson's phosphorescent suit when he rode up on the white horse, or Ross when he had his glow-in-the-dark teeth. This is real. This is authentic. And it isn't the end of the story. Jesus then is with the disciples, and the disciples see two other individuals with Jesus, Moses and Elijah, the great prophets of Judaism. Make no mistake about it, this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience for these three disciples. Peter, who always seems to need to make a comment, he says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, we'll build a shelter for you, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And while Peter's speaking, this bright cloud covers them, and a voice from the cloud says, this is my son, my beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples hear this, they fall on their face. They're afraid. Jesus says, get up, don't be afraid. And when they look up, all they see is Jesus, and the other two are gone. As they're coming down the mountain, Jesus tells them, don't tell anyone about this till the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Well, later Peter does tell about it. And we read it in the first lesson. Karen read it for us. There's two little epistles written by Peter at the back of the New Testament. And in the second letter, he says, for did we not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in power? But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, this is my son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. He says, we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. This is significant. Remember at Jesus' baptism, the voice of God came when he came out of the waters, and a dove descended. Now, it's never said that anybody else heard that voice, but that's what Jesus heard. And this one, these three guys, heard the voice of God. There's no longer any doubt that this man whom they followed was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of the living God, and yet, just a short time later, Peter would be denying that he even knew Jesus. James and John would be hiding behind closed doors because they didn't want to be associated with Christ's power and his purpose on earth. So they have this mountaintop experience, and a week later, Jesus goes into Jerusalem and is arrested, and they deny it, you know. And how do you explain this? You can't really explain that very well, except to say that they're very much like us. They had a faith like a yo-yo. Sometimes it's up, sometimes down, sometimes almost to the ground, as my kid used to say when he jumped rope. It's only about a week before the Transfiguration that Jesus asked his disciples the question, who do people say that I am? And you remember, it was Peter that answered. Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus praised Simon, said, you are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against you. And then Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he had to go down to Jerusalem, suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the priests and the scribes, and that he must be killed and on the third day rise to life. And this is what Peter says. Peter says, Lord, that'll never happen. That'll never happen to you while I'm on guard. And then Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, for you're not on the side of God. You want to bring your plans in here. I mean, so Peter's up and down and up and down and up and down in this thing. Jesus turns to Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. So now a week later, they go up to the mountain. He offers to build these booths for Christ and for Moses and Elijah, and pretty soon he'll be in the courtyard, and someone will ask him, are you one of the disciples? And he'll say, not me. I don't know the guy. Simon Peter is me. Simon Peter is us. We're just as wishy-washy in our faith, if the truth be known. One moment we feel so close to God that we're willing to give him all that we are and all that we have. And the next moment, in a time of testing, we deny we ever knew him. How do you explain something like that? I think probably the only way is to think that the disciples were broken human beings like you and me. They were full of good intention, but very poor in execution, how you lived it out. That's one reason why I'm so grateful for God's grace. Huh? Everyone who's serious about his or her faith struggles at some time on their pilgrimage. The only people who don't struggle, it seems to me, are those for whom their faith is somewhere up on the surface, to which they're hardly committed at all. One of my favorite pieces of humor is the one about the man who woke up in his dreams, and he was having a dream. He was standing in line before St. Peter's gates, and he dreamed that he was standing right behind Mother Teresa. And as she was going in, he heard Peter say, "I'm sorry, Teresa, it isn't enough." If heaven were based on merit, Mother Teresa wouldn't get in. The Apostle Peter would be omitted, standing on the outside looking in. St. Paul would be looking on the outside. Heaven would be a mighty lonely place if it's based on merit. As one fellow said, if heaven is based on merit, the only people that would be in there would be Jesus and my wife's first husband. Everyone who's ever done their best to follow Jesus has struggled at some time or another. That's because we walk by faith and not by absolute knowledge. As most of you know, Mother Teresa struggled with her faith during most of her great ministry. I mean, in reading her biography, she wrote to a friend, "Jesus was has a very special love for you. As for me, the silence and the emptiness are so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear." Now, Mother Teresa gave herself as completely as any person I know, but she still struggled in her faith, kind of like Peter and James and John struggled with the Transfiguration faith, where they heard the voice of God. That's life. In a sense, that's faith. And Paul would write later on, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, then we will see face to face. Now we know in part, then we will see fully." Huh? A successful businessman once traveled to India to spend time with Mother Teresa in her shelters. He wanted to spend a month with her. He longed to meet her, but she was off traveling. He didn't get to visit with her until a couple of days before he was going to leave. And when he finally was able to visit with her, all he did was break out into tears. All the time when he said in his whole life he'd been self-centered, so busy or so focused on making a living and putting money in the bank that he felt an enormous sadness that he had missed so many opportunities to live his life in giving of himself and finding life like Mother Teresa had. And without a word, Mother Teresa walked over to him, put her hands on his shoulders, and looked into his eyes and said, "Don't you know that God knows you're doing the best that you can?" God does know your heart and my heart. God does know what we've lived with. And God does love us with an everlasting love. And that out of love, God has given us a gift of his love. That's grace, huh? You and I are, I think, equally incredulous that God would give us this free gift of grace, but he did. And in gratitude, it's very important that we keep this faith alive. We live this faith. We talk, like Wally said, every moment of every day to God. We immerse ourselves in his presence. We are all in constant danger of backsliding, of slipping away from God. I mean, if Peter and James and John were in danger after their experiences with Christ, if Mother Teresa was in danger after all of her good works, then how much more in danger are you and I of showing our hearts, allowing our hearts to grow cold, our lives to become indifferent to Christ's love. That's important. That's the importance of being in worship on Sunday mornings. That's the importance of sharing with each other in small groups, having coffee after church. That's the importance of immersing ourselves in the Scripture and saying our prayers to guard against the entropy of our souls so our souls just don't shrivel down into nothingness. The natural tendency when we go away from the presence of God is to allow the wonder of the faith to die. But this grace of God is free for us. God loves us when we haven't done anything to deserve it. But the casual believer asks, isn't it dangerous to proclaim grace that is so totally free? Don't you have to fear God in order to scare you into heaven and keep you acting? And that's not the way God wants it. That's not a theology that he would have us follow. But to struggle with our faith, but to maintain close in our prayer life and in our scripture study and our fellowship and in our worship. One last story about Abraham Lincoln. According to the story, Lincoln visited one of those slave auctions. He went to observe, not to participate. He watched with unspeakable sadness the indignities that took place selling and buying human beings. His response was a mixture of disgust and sadness and outrage. And as he stood there, a young woman was brought to the auction block. Her eyes and her body language was just screaming defiance and hate and sadness. She'd been used and abused by her previous owners over and over again. Well, the bidding began, and to everyone's amazement, Lincoln started bidding until the bid got so high he won the bidding, and the woman stood there with hate in her eyes. All the animosity was focused right on him, because she knew if whatever had taken place in the past would probably happen in the future, and he just said two words. He said, "You're free." Dripping defiance and distress, she says, "Yeah, free for what?" And Lincoln answered, "Free to do anything you want to do, to go anywhere you want to go, you're free." Her appearance changed as she looked at Lincoln, as she recognized his words. "You're free," Lincoln said, "free to go anywhere you want, to do anything you want." And she answered, "I'm going to go with you." And that's what this transfiguration is all about. In our own way, each of us has been to the mountaintop and experienced the presence of God. We have seen the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, says John. We've been there, but we're sinners, you and I, and we're broken, you and I. But we love him. And in the time of testing, each one of us has denied him. We're grateful to be recipients of his grace. And he does love us in spite of our turning away. So this morning, I'd like to invite you to recommit yourselves as we gather at this table of love. Recommit yourself so that we can be close to him in all that we say and we do. It'd be a good way to start our Lenten season. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Mrs. Elling's daughter, you've got to lead the congregation in this one, okay? 7:32. You can do it. Or we can do it together. Darlene can help. Good. 7:32, everybody got it? We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. There's also the blessing box out there Bill wants to receive. Okay, good. Go ahead.
I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. It was there when you were but a child with a faith to suit you well. In a blaze of light you wandered off to find dear demons dwell. I was there to hear your warning cry. I'll be there, you knew our role. I rejoiced the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. When you hear the wonder of the word, I was there to cheer you on. You were raised to praise the living Lord, to whom you now belong. If you find someone to share your time, and you join your hearts as one, I'll be there to make your verses rhyme from dusk till rising sun. I was there to hear your warning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your
Please rise and let us join together in praying the offertory prayer in the middle of page 5. Let us pray together. God of all creation, all you have made is good, but your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Guided by the light of Christ, who has been made known to the nations, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. God of glory and grace, you call us to wait upon your name. Give your church on earth the strength and patience to be the people you would have us be. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You created mountains and hills, caverns and valleys. Help us to be good stewards of the heights and depths of your creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Raise up leaders in this day with wisdom like Moses, so that all will know your peace and justice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You provide us with mercy and love through your beloved Son. Shine the light of his love to heal the sick, feed the hungry, and comfort the grieving. Be with all who suffer. Especially remember in our prayers Dean Newman, Darwin Brieswitz, Audrey Kohlberg, Ruth and Doris and Karen and Ron and Bob and Mary, and all of those in our lives who need your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You raise up your children, counsel us not to be afraid. Help this community of faith to be fearless in proclaiming the gospel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask your presence to be with Ted and Ruth Jadzik as they mourn the loss of their daughter. We ask you to be with all of those snowbirds who are down south. Keep them safe in your loving care. We ask for your nurture and warmth for all of us here in Minnesota. Give us courage to face the weather and to stand for what is right and true, to help each other down the road. And Lord, if you could smile upon our loved ones and keep them close to you, we'd sure like that to happen. Holy Spirit, keep us in your care until you gather us with all the saints, from every time and every place in the company of our sovereign God. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear.
Radiant God, hear the prayers of your people, spoken or silent, for the sake of the one who has made his dwelling among us, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So we gather at God's holy table. All are invited to receive the bread and the wine or grape juice into their lives to strengthen their journeys. Jesus is alive. Jesus is well. Jesus is with us and present in this meal. At his last supper, he took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All are welcome at the table of our Lord. If you prefer grape juice, it's found in the center of our communion trays. This morning we'll use individual cup. If you are gluten intolerant, just ask the server and we will serve you a bread that doesn't have flour. Table is set. Come, eat and drink. Will the congregation please rise? The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join together in the prayer after communion. Lord, it is good for us to be here, for we have tasted your glory in this holy meal. Continue your goodness as we go out from here. Open our eyes to see your face shining in every person. And send us to be your servants in every place, for you are the life and light of all, both now and forever. Amen. May the God of glory dwell in you richly, name you beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is your light. Closing hymn is Beautiful Savior. Let's sing the first and the third verse. First and third verse of hymn 838. 8:38, first and third verse.
Beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of Man. Truly I love thee, truly I serve thee, Guide of my soul, my joy, my crown.
Third verse.
Fair is the sunshine, fair is the moonlight, bright your sparkling stars are.